But if you have your Bibles, please open them up with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Like this picture here. We're going to be talking about freedom in Christ. Jesus came to set us free. Amen? Came to set the captives free. Came to heal the brokenhearted. That's Isaiah 61 verse 1. Prophesied about Messiah Jesus. So Galatians 5, if you have your Bibles, open them up. Stand with me if you're able to. It's also on the screen here. I want you to know where it is in the Bible. Galatians 5. We're going to read verse 1 here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Again, it's in your Bible, but also on the display. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you that you liberate us. You want to set us free. And I believe some of your children are here that maybe intellectually they know you, Jesus. Maybe in their heart they believe in you, but they're maybe still not freed from the bondage of sin, the bondages of sexual immorality, relationship sins, drugs, alcohol, all sorts of stupid stuff that we get stained with in this world, Lord. You died for us. You died for the sins of our pride, sins of our love of money, all these different things, God. Help us, set us free. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us your liberation, your freedom. But we need your supernatural empowerment. Be that Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Reveal yourself here today. Help us. Minister to us by the power of your Spirit through your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So chapters 3 and 4, just a quick recap. Chapters 3 and 4 in Galatians are greatly about doctrine. God is using Paul to teach us a lot about doctrine, doctrinal issues and all. You're no longer a slave, but a son. You're a child of God. And you're no longer under Torah and its bondage that it puts us in. You're now liberated. You're set free to walk with grace, to follow Jesus Christ. Praise God for that alone. Amen? So Jesus came to set us free. And we learned a lot of that in chapters 3 and 4. Get the head stuff. Now we get more of the heart and the feet. Okay, we got to walk this out. So now in chapter 5, we're going to get a lot of application. And this is the way that a lot of the Bible books are written. You learn, and then you apply. You learn, you apply. So now that chapter 4 is done, notice this in chapter 5, verse 1. We have a couple of commands that are here. You and I need to learn to walk in a new life of grace. Notice these commands. I color-coded them here. I like this. Green for go. Stand fast. Okay, persist. The second command is about not going backwards. You got to keep growing. I like to say growing forward. Don't just go forward, but grow forward. And the second command, don't go backwards. Don't backslide. I want to point this out here. Stand fast means to persist. You and I have to persist in the grace that God gave you through Jesus Christ. You have to persist in New Testament living. Persist. And we learn a lot of things in the New Testament. Things like abide in Jesus. Remain in him. Stay. Persist. It's a command, by the way, that you and I would persist in the liberty that God has given you and I. And that's found through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't persist in Torah, in the law. We're going to get into that greatly here today, actually. But you can't persist in Torah. You cannot persist in the ways of the Old Testament. And this is something that you and I need to take some time to ponder and pray through as we go through this passage. So we're going to slowly go through this, God willing. Second command here, after saying you got to persist, you have to stand fast in this liberty now. Don't be entangled, he says. That's also a command. God's commanding us to not be entangled again with a, what he says, yoke of bondage. I color coded that too. I would have put it in red, but it doesn't look good on the black background. Yoke of bondage. Think of that. It's a yoke of bondage. What's a yoke? It's a single piece of wood that joins two beasts of burden. Now, let me put this out there already, because we're going to get to this illustration later on of a yoke. Later on, God willing. It's a single piece of wood that joins two beasts of burden. Let's say you have two oxen. One ox, another ox joins them. And the older one's discipling the younger one. And they need to plow a field. You want to plow a straight line, not a crooked one. You want a straight walk with God. Amen? And Jesus will use that term yoke. Take my yoke, he says. Let me throw this out there right now as we start. Kind of like fishing. You just cast a net. You never know what you're going to catch. Every single one of you, every single one of us, including me, has yoked ourselves to someone or something in marriage. That's a picture. Eternally with Jesus, you need to take his yoke. You need to stay yoked to him. Think of that illustration. Two beasts of burden, one piece of wood. Think of the wood of the cross. Joined to him. He's the older one discipling you. And I want to go this way. I want to go. Nah, come on. Let's just go straight. Get your walk straightened up, Drew. And he wants to disciple us. Don't be entangled again. It's a command. With a yoke of bondage. So don't be yoked to things that are bad, like legalism. This is the issue that we're discussing here. By the time we get to chapter 5, this whole book was about the Christians in Galatia. They're trying to add one command in Torah. And how many commands are there in Torah? 613. So forget the other 612. Just one of these commands. What were they trying to add to salvation? The cross of Christ plus what? Circumcision. Snip, snip. Right? As men remember, like, ow. So that would have been a yoke of bondage. And think about this. Legalism is a bondage, right? Legalism will chain you. Change you. Jesus wants to free you. But that's what legalism does. It binds you up. Oh, okay, I did this one. Ouch. Snip, snip, fellas, right? Ouch. Supposedly you go through a fever and all that. That actually happens. Oh, got to recuperate. You go back to your job. What do you do? I sit on a horse all day, a wrestling cow, so I don't know about sitting down. Need a couple months to recuperate. You go to work, you're like hobbling around. All right, I did one of the commands. Now what? Now we got 613 to look at. Oh, boy. And by the way, ladies, you wouldn't have to worry about that one about circumcision. It's more of a guy issue. But 613 commands. Think of the weight of that. I want you to think about this. Let the weight of that kind of settle on you, as it would have for the Christians there in Galatia. So Paul understood the weight of that. He's saying, don't go back. Don't backslide. Don't be entangled again. Don't be busied up with this thing of legalism. It's a yoke of bondage. Whereas Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, wants to set us free. Don't be entangled again. Legalism will chain you. Legalism will never set you free. And it doesn't matter if it's a person that says, we must keep Sabbath. I must not work on Saturday. I must gather. Why? Because I got to be holy. I got to be righteous. Some think they're going to maintain their salvation that way. That stinks. Because again, that's just one of the commands. So he says, don't be entangled again. Don't go back to the slavery of trying to live under the law. If you're taking notes, here's what John 8, verse 36 teaches us. John 8, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus sets you free, so guess what? You're free indeed. Now, the Christian has the freedom, unfortunately, people that are still in bondage to the world, that are not saved, they don't have freedom. Their identity is just a sinner. And what do sinners do? Sin. That's their identity. They're going to act as their identity. You and I are in Christ. And here's the reality. you and I have to choose to sin or not sin. Right? People in bondage of the world, they're deaf, dumb, and blind. It's like an unborn baby. They have no idea. They're just going to sin. But you have that choice to choose, I'm not going to sin anymore. I remember what it did to you, Jesus. That sin murdered you. It hurts to think about that, to imagine you dying, murdered for my sins. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to develop a love relationship, not a legalistic one. A love relationship. So he sets you free. He set me free. Let's continue reading on. Look at this in verse 2 and 3. Let's read this. Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, look at this, Christ will profit you nothing. It's like, imagine the guys that already went through this, like, oh man. Ouch. Had to stay home for a whole month. My wife's mad at me because I couldn't work, couldn't bring home the food. Profit you nothing. Look at this in verse 3. Here's what I want you and I to focus on. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that, notice, he's a debtor to what? To keep the whole law. Let that sink in. The weight of that. Someone like Paul, the apostle, would have understood this. Again, how many commandments are there in Torah? The first five books of the Bible. 613. Not just 10 commandments in Exodus 20. 613. And circumcision is just one of them. Think how bad that might be, fellas. Just that alone is like, forget it. A lot of people are like, I don't want to convert to Judaism. I'll pass. I'm good. Think about that. There's 613. But if someone's going to try to be righteous, to be accepted by the Father through obeying Torah, and it's 613 commands, it's not just the one, circumcision, not just snip, snip. That person then is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now let that sink in. As a principle, that means a person that thinks, I have to keep Sabbath. Guess what they're in debt to do now? Keeps all 613. The person that says, oh, I'm going to be holy. By not eating pork, God will bless me indeed. Okay, that's what you think. You're going to be accepted, not because of Christ Jesus, of who he is, but you got to make yourself holy. And it's not because of what Christ Jesus did by dying on the cross, pouring out his blood, resurrecting, but by what you do. Good luck, because you got 613 laws. And it's already game over because you were born a sinner. It's game over before you began. You're a debtor to keep the whole law. So the old covenant living is about fulfilling all 613 commandments. That stinks. So the point is this. If someone tries to do one work from the law to try to be righteous in God's eyes, then, quote, he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So there's either the old covenant living, where you're going to live and try to do 613 commands, and you have to keep them. And as soon as you sin, even if you have a negative thought towards God or towards one of those, that's a sin. You have to sacrifice. And a lot of those is impossible for you to do because you have to have a temple. You have to have a high priest. Can't keep the Yom Kippur laws. It's impossible. Game over. It's either old covenant living, which the whole world is trying to do, whether they're atheist, agnostic, whatever they think they are, or modern day Judaism has become a works-based system. They do the work. New covenant, Jesus did the work. Amen? You got to choose. Whether it's the Christians in Galatia, the Christians in New York City, the Christians that you and I might minister to. You have only two choices in life. Either the law is going to keep you in bondage and fear and in slavery, or Jesus did the work. And you say, thank you. Thank you for forgiveness of sins to Christ and what he did. You have a choice. So the problem is there are 613 commandments. And guess what? I just refreshed my memory. I read through them. Pretty scary. Been preparing for today. Now, here's a guy. His name is Maimonides. You guys in this church are going to hear about him over and over. Orthodox Jews study him. They love him. He wrote a 14-volume set called Mishnah Torah. Word-wise, it's about almost as many words as the King James Version Bible. He wrote and codified for Jews about how to take Torah and apply it to life. And he's the one that we look to that help codify Torah and put it into 613 commands. This is how we know it has 613. Why? Maimonides. He's also the one that you hear me mention about that the Orthodox Jews still today quote and follow regarding the red heifer from Numbers 19. They quote him. He says the ushering in of the 10th and last red heifer is going to be brought by Messiah. Okay, that's what the Jews believe. Okay, we look at that, it's like, oh, it's going to be Messiah, but it's going to be a false Messiah. Okay, so it's important to know what the Jews believe if you're going to minister to Jews especially. So here's what Maimonides wrote, and I went through all 613. I'm like, some of these are funny, just to make them fit, so the font's not really super tiny. It is pretty small here. I apologize for that. You can, as I see a bunch of you take photos and look at it later. Just for the sake of those that say they want to live according to Torah, and I couldn't put a lot of them here, obviously. I went through and I'm like, let's look at some of these that basically virtually all of us already broke this today alone. Today alone. First of all, for the men, as well as maybe the ladies, but for the men, who here shaved today or this past week or this past year? All right, you broke Torah. You mean those guys with the curly curls? Yes. Oh, look at this one. Here's command 19. Don't gossip about others. So what do you know Jesus didn't do? Jesus never gossiped about others, right? Wow. Some of these are kind of funny. So don't gossip about others. That's Leviticus 19, verse 16. All of us got caught up in gossip. If you view Facebook, if you've seen modern news, a lot of what's called news is actually the sin of gossip. Did you know that? Yeah, a lot of us don't know that. Okay? You get caught up in gossip, and it's couched as news. And guess what? Your flesh wants to know. Why? Because it's hungry for gossip. Your flesh, it wants to sin. Look at this, number 21. It's command 21. Don't bear a grudge against anybody. Did he really say that? And then Jesus says, you've been forgiven, you must forgive others. And if you read the New Testament, it's just that little book there, and you read it again, it's like, well, it's at least two of the books, in what, Ephesians and Colossians. You've been forgiven, you must forgive. Don't hold a grudge. All of us are guilty of that. Who here's not guilty of that? And then we'd say, sinner, you just lied. Great. Look at number 49. This is command 49. Don't sacrifice your children to Molech. Oh, we don't have Molech today. You know what you call that? Abortion. Abortion. I'm not a gal, but I got involved in that when I was younger. And I had to actually apologize. I'm like, God, I think I got to tell my wife and kids. I remember telling my kids when they were like really little. It's like, you know, I feel really horrible about this. Yes, I know Jesus forgave me and all. I had to tell my kids, you may have had like a little brother, a little sister, if this didn't happen. Like, oh. Sometimes you need to confess your sins, not just this way, but this way, right? And the pain of it. And I realized, I think you might have me doing that, not just for the sake of my marriage and my family, but also that it could set someone else free. You know, she's bound up by that bondage. So don't sacrifice your children to Molech. Some of us are guilty of breaking this command. I had to confess that to God. Look at this here. Number 68 and 69. Men can't shave the hair on the sides of the head. Let me see. All right, bro. I'm sorry. You and me, I think we broke that command. We're in North Williamsburg. South Williamsburg is known around the world as heavy density, ultra-Orthodox Jews. Okay. You'll see a lot of the men, even sometimes they're boys. They have the curls. Cute. Okay. When they get older, they still have those long side curls. Why? Because of this command. They're like, Maimonides, I want to cut my hair. And if you shave your beard, you're not supposed to shave with a razor. I already broke that command this morning. Who here broke that command? You want to live according to Torah? Too late. Okay. Look at this one, number 72. Don't tattoo your skin. If you want to live according to Torah, okay. Now, if you want to get a tattoo, that's between you and Jesus. There's a lot of us Christians like, that's not the issue. The main issue is not how you look like on the outside. Amen? Jesus cares about how you look like on the inside. You got one tattoo on your face. Don't get a 666 on your forehead, okay? That one's a little weird. I looked this up. According to New York City, about 31% of all adult residents in New York City. About a third of New York City residents have a tattoo. In Williamsburg, where there's tat shops all over the place, tattoo shops everywhere in Williamsburg. Might be like half of the hipsters there. I don't know. I was thinking about that. I walk around like, wow, good luck on obeying Torah. But you don't have to through Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter. You got one tattoo or a bunch. That's not the issue. The issue is not how you look like on the outside, what color your tattoo is, how many tattoos, where it's at. The issue is, how are you on the inside? Okay. Jesus died for the inside. The outside, doesn't matter. Okay, he counts the number of hairs on our head, right? It's getting easier for him to count for me. look at number 75. Repent and confess your wrongdoings. Do I have to? Yeah, if you want to obey Torah. Oh, I don't want to obey Torah. I'm just going to live in the new covenant. Well, you still need to confess your sins that he's faithful and just and forgive us our sins, right? 1 John 1:9. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But according to this, if someone still hasn't confessed and repented from each and every one of the sins, not just against God vertically, but against others, wow, they're not going to be able to do it. Oh, how about this one? Put a mezuzah on each doorpost. A mezuzah. when we go to doctors in South Williamsburg, we see that. It's like, I think it's funny. Every single door. And you see someone like, they'll kiss it, right? Mezuzah. It's a little thing on the doorway. Contains passages from Deuteronomy. It includes a Shema prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's from Deuteronomy 6, verse 9. And it's supposed to have it on every doorpost. So we're supposed to have it on the front door. We're supposed to have it on the foyer door, on the children's church doors here. When you go through the doorway here, when you go into the bathroom, we don't have it. Sorry, you just broke Torah. If you're going to live according to Torah. Okay? Oh, how about this one for Christians? You might think this is funny. Command 85, bless Almighty God after eating. When do Christians usually pray? Before. Well, if you eat breakfast, lunch, dinner for 50 years, I don't know, multiply that. How many times have you broke Torah? He says, after eating. Really? The Christians usually pray before. Why? In case this thing's poison, can you bless this food? Now later on, it's like, oh, it's hurting my stomach. Bless you, Lord. Oh, how about this one? Where's my wife? Those nasty Koreans that drink the or eat the blood sausage. Who here is eating blood sausage? Come on, some of you guys don't want to confess it. Okay? Yeah, there's Spanish. A lot of Spanish folks eat a blood sausage. Oh, you broke Torah. It says don't eat blood. Who here has gone to Catholic Church? All right. Here's one for you that Catholics were never taught. You're not supposed to drink or eat blood. So what about the Catholic Mass, what we call transubstantiation, where they say the blood of Jesus, where they actually believe doctrinally that the juice or the wine literally becomes the blood of Jesus. They don't read the Bible. They're never taught the Bible. They have no clue. Dumb, deaf, and blind. They're breaking Torah without even knowing it. Okay, and life is in the blood is what it says. So that's Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. Don't eat blood. A lot of Asians, a lot of us break that. If you believe that it becomes, like we do in communion, that literally, and we'll do that later today, that the juice literally becomes the blood of Jesus, you just broke Torah, and Christ Jesus wouldn't want you to break Torah. He says, do this in remembrance of me, not do this to re-crucify me. Don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. Besides that, ew. Some of y'all, like, eat, where's my wife? Pork blood? Really? It's like, that's the most dag nasty thing ever. It's like, I can imagine this big, let me bleed you. And can we put this in a sausage? Like, oh my goodness, that thing's gross. don't eat meat with dairy. This is why I might say, this is Exodus 23, verse 19. If you're ministering to Jews, you have them over your house, don't try to give them a bacon cheeseburger. Okay? Why? They won't eat bacon, they won't eat the pork, and they won't eat meat with dairy. Don't give them the cheese. Okay? And they're careful if you have, there's kosher pizza places, aren't there? Yeah. New York City, you find kosher. But you're going to find them with pork pepperoni, pork sausage, with cheese on the pizza? No. Can't they eat it with cheese, with meat sauce? No. They can't eat meat with dairy. When they go to the bodega, they're not going to have egg and cheese on a roll. We just had it this morning. We had to Christ Jesus, right? Rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's what he said. We had bacon and eggs, and me and Josh had with con queso, with cheese on a roll. Sorry. Christ Jesus makes it kosher, so to speak, right? How about this one? Every time you eat meat, you have to eat meat that was ritually slaughtered. It's got to be kosher. Good luck if you go to Arby's across the street, McDonald's, wherever you go. How do you know it was ritually slaughtered per kosher? You don't. You can't. If so, it'll be a lot more expensive. Okay, and every time you eat, it's got to be meat that was ritually slaughtered. That's command number 204. That's Deuteronomy 12, verse 21. Not to break oaths or vows, including like when you sign for a credit card, you get a loan or whatever it is. I promise to give, remember Wimpy from Popeyes? I promise to pay you. Okay? Don't be wimpy. So if you went back on any kind of a promise, then you broke Torah. Now, you feel the weight of these things. It's kind of funny you could joke about it. I had to take a lot out of this just to fit some of these onto the slide. You know today that there's a lot of folks, a lot of guys and gals, what we used to almost jokingly call cross-dressing, or even in like movies, Madea. Anybody hear Madea? That can't fly today, post-COVID, right? Because people think they're serious. They won't look at that and go, oh, that's funny. It's not, today it's not funny. There's a lot of people that take that very serious, right? But you know, Torah says for men, and God knows who a man is because he creates them, okay? For men, do not wear women's clothes. And he says for women, do not wear men's clothes. It's kind of funny. You get married, like, it doesn't happen with the guys, but the gals will a lot of times, oh, I want to wear your sweatshirt or your jacket. Gals do that all the time. Now, I'm not saying you have to do these things or have not to, but understand that Christ Jesus sets you free. That's like we sang. I asked Susan, please, can we do that song? I am set free. Oh, praise the Lord for that, right? Christ Jesus liberated us. We can go on and on with this, and we're not going to. But the choice that you and I have to make is this. Are we going to obey God in the New Testament and walk in grace? Or are we going to obey God according to Torah and live according to Torah, but actually you're not obeying God because that's already eradicated. You can't obey Torah. You're going to be enslaved to that. And the problem with this, I know, is studying this and looking at even all these Torah commands. I wanted to look at, like, what are some of the top ones? Because 600, just the weight of it, reading through, it's like, the majority of them are written in negative. Don't do, don't do, don't do. He even quantifies. It tells you how many are written in the negative, how many are positive commands. Way less positive commands. Like, do this. That's positive. Most of them are negative. Don't do this. Don't do this. And the weight of it is like, I feel so negative now. But I wanted to study it and look at what are the top ones. And this is why in this church, we want to teach you things like the Torah laws about Yom Kippur, Leviticus 16. Okay, of the high priest. Why? Because that'll also teach you not just the entire Bible, it'll teach you the book of Hebrews. Impossible to know and understand and apply the book of Hebrews unless you could see that Christ Jesus is your great high priest that fulfilled these things as understood by the Torah commands of what the high priest on earth was to do. Okay, so it's impossible to fulfill that. There's no priesthood, there's no temple. It has to be in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. It's impossible for Jews today. So the person that says, I live according to Torah. No, I study it. There's no way. It's impossible. And you too, you come here and you study it. It's impossible. And we can look at these things, guys, and somewhat tongue-in-cheek almost kind of chuckle at it. But it's sad because there's people today that you might know and love, especially in this greater New York area, that are trying to, that want to please God. They just don't know that there's a new way. And that's through who? Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the only way to come to the Father, amen? It's through him. Don't live like a slave. So you got to choose to obey God in the new covenant today. It's impossible to live according to the old covenant. So this is just a little snippet. I've literally just preparing for today, read through all 613 of these laws or commands that Maimonides quantified and organized. It's just the weight of it's immense. You can't live according to that. Let's continue forward. Remembering, though, that if someone tries to obey God and try to be righteous according to Torah, doing that one command, that one law of, let me get circumcised, and then you'll be pleased with me, Father. No. The weight of it, of the entirety of all 613 of those commands, will be upon that person, because you'll be a debtor to do them all. Now, continuing on, look at verse 4 and on. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Look at this in verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So you and I today, to embrace a life trying to obey Torah laws, it's going to cause a person to drift from salvation through Jesus. Because Jesus came to set us free. He wants us simply to follow him, unburdened, unloaded from all the guilt, the shame, all that stuff. That's the design of Torah. It's not to make you holy. It's to point out the fact that you ain't going to do it. And to point you to the fact of the one that who did. Amen? Torah was my schoolmaster's, my teacher to lead me to who? To Messiah Jesus and what he did. So you feel the weight, the burden of it, which we should, because that's bad news. It'll lead you to what? To accepting good news through Jesus Christ. And we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus did the work to pay for our sins. But if a person is going to drift away from this saving grace, they, quote, have fallen from grace. This is what he's getting at. Okay, don't go back to Torah. Don't fall from grace. This is why sometimes you hear people, and like, oh, I get freedom, liberation. And they, maybe you're ministering to them, and they leave maybe real basic Christian fellowship like here or anywhere where there is Bible teaching and they're being poured into and they're pointing to the grace of God, not their work. And sometimes people just leave. They drift off. They go back into maybe whatever it is, whatever legalism or bondage, a cult or Catholicism or something else where they have to do in order to be holy or righteous. And that's so sad. What happened? They fell from grace. Don't do that. What matters, though, is, as he says here, faith working through love. Faith working through love. Think about this, Christian. The person that's caught up in legalism, the legalistic person, they don't have faith working through love. They don't have faith that Christ Jesus is the one that set them free. Who is their faith in if they're caught up in legalism? In self. Their faith is, I'm going to get saved by myself, I'm going to attain my salvation, and I'm going to maintain my salvation. Doesn't work, does it? So it's not faith working through love, and they're not going to have love. Their love is what? Conditional. Because their God, who's really themselves, or Satan, is conditional. If I do, then I'm good enough. If I do more, I'll be more pleasing. That's conditional love, isn't it? It's a fake God. They become their own God. Really, Satan's their God. And that kind of a God, that kind of a love, will extend to others. They won't have unconditional love from the Father through Jesus to you to love God back and to love the people back. It'll also be conditional because their God has conditional love. Isn't that sad? It's not faith working through love. They have faith in their self and their works, and their love is not the agape love of God. It'll be conditional love. It'll be because they have a legalistic view of self and others. I'll love you under these conditions. And as soon as you don't meet their conditions, which will always get tougher and tougher because it'll be impossible. As soon as you reach that, it'll be more and more impossible because they have conditions. It's conditional love. It's not unconditional love. Legalistic people, they're going to lack faith and they're going to lack love. It's not faith working through love. They have a faith in self and what they can do. But you and I'm just a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. All I could do is sin. And what did he do? He died for those sins. He set me free. that doesn't make sense. Yeah. I don't understand it, but I want that. And you're not going to understand it. You can't quantify that. You're going to take forever of the Lord just showing you his love, his grace, his mercy. Just know that legalistic people won't have faith working through love. And as we get ready to close here, maybe there's someone here, you need freedom through Christ. You need to be reminded, perhaps, of what Jesus did to set you free. So we opened up about the yoke. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11, to read this here on the screen, on the display. He says this to you. And this will speak to someone here, I believe. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look at what he says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Everybody has a yoke. You're yoked to someone or something. It could be your job. It could be whoever, whatever it is. But Jesus says to you, take his yoke. You have to take it. You know, praise God that he's not forceful, right? He's not, come to me. And if you don't, I'm going to force my yoke on you. He's not like that. What does he say? Take it. I love that. Take my yoke. Again, a yoke was a single piece of wood that joined two beasts of burden. Two oxen. The older oxen to siphon the younger. That's the picture of Jesus through the wood of the cross. You have to join yourself to him. But some of us are like, I don't want to. I'm scared. And that's okay. As long as you take your fears to him. Okay? And just trust him. Take my yoke upon you. Now you hear others talk to you about Jesus. Oprah will even tell you about Jesus. Here's Jesus on Jesus. He says, learn from me. He tells you two things about himself. He says, for I'm gentle. You need to know that. He's going to be gentle with you. Second thing he says, and lowly in heart. The original Greek word for lowly in heart, it could speak of, I get depressed in my heart. Jesus got depressed? Depression is not sin, though. We know Jesus did not sin, amen? It's what you do with that that might lead to sin. Jesus knew what it was like when people would promise you stuff. Someone like Peter, it's like, I'll die for you. And the other disciples, yeah. And he's hanging on the cross. That bums me out, thinking like the whole world turned his back. Even the Father, for that brief moment where he threw the sins of the world upon his Son, Father had to turn his back on the Son. Why? So that you and I could have that promise, that guarantee that through Christ Jesus, God will never leave us nor forsake us. And yet he had to turn his back on the Son because of your sins and mine. He says, I'm gentle. I'll be gentle with you and lowly in heart. He understands even depression. He knows what it's like. And you will, look at his promise, you will find rest for your soul. Some of you need that rest, perhaps. I'm not sure what it is. But just bring yourself to him. Allow us to pray for you. Can we get set up, Susan? Can we get set up? We'll close with some worship time. And then we'll partake of communion after that. And here's what Jesus says in closing. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All of you are yoked to someone or something. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a relationship. It's something that's weighing you down. It's something that's probably fallen in this fallen world that's just hurting you. You have to unlatch yourself from those burdens, whatever they are. Maybe it's something in Torah. I think I got to do this and I'll be holy and pure and righteous. And then you'll accept me, Father. No, he's already adopted you through Christ Jesus. Through Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done. Not what you could do. Just got to give up. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I just got to come to you. I just want to trust you. Sorry for running away from you, Father. I need to come back to you. And maybe that's someone here. Maybe that's a whole bunch of you. I don't know. But you need to take his yoke. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus will be gentle with you. And he understands. I've gone through depression, deep depression, to the point where I imagine it. And it got so weird sometimes where it felt like it almost messed with my hearing. Now, I used to be a DJ, so it was very important to me to have really good hearing. I imagine it almost like I'm way back at the end of a cave, this deep, dark cave of depression. So I read about Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He's going and he's running and hiding in a cave, and God's calling him out. He's like, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I read that story and I'm like, that's me at times. What are you doing here, Drew, hiding in this cave of depression? He's going to be there, speak to you, and what's he going to do? Like Elijah, he's going to call you out. But sometimes you might feel like you're in that cave and you look at, they call it like the light at the end. Oh, I want to come out, but it's so comfortable here. I remember those times where I didn't want to get out of bed. I had spans of a lot of time where I would stay day after day. And it got so bad. I remember, I don't know if I used to be addicted to TV. Is anybody else? That's why I can't have that one-eyed God at home. I got to be careful with that. And I would just sit there. It's like, ah, oh, I just want to drown my sorrows. You know, whatever it is. I've been there. Textbook depression. And Jesus still wants to call you out of that. Why? Because he loves you. He's given you a new beginning, a new hope, a new family. And maybe he's brought someone in here. My guess is there's probably a bunch of you here that he wants to help. He wants to set you free. He wants to liberate you. You need to know that he'll be gentle with you. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what he got when he chose you. And he's given you his promise. You will find rest for your souls. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer to close out this time. And before we partake of communion, let's just go ahead and have a time that if you need prayer, I'm going to ask you simply to come up and come forward and we can pray for you. And then some of us, for the ladies, some of the gals can come up to help pray. Same thing, JP, Jose, some of the guys come up, we can pray for you. But let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus, our Messiah, your only begotten Son, who died on the cross, rose from the grave, poured out his blood. Thank you that you fulfilled Torah and you died for us. So we don't have to try to fulfill Torah. All we could do is break the law. So many of them, we already broke even before we got up and came in here today. And we thank you that we don't have to live under the weight, the pressure, the slavery and bondage of trying to fulfill Torah. We just have to follow you by grace. Faith working through love. We have faith in you. We've received your love through Christ Jesus. I want to love you back and love others. But Father, I believe there's people here that need to be set free. Please pour out your Spirit. Help us to love one another here and to pray for each other. Minister to us and use us, God, to bring about a healing in your bride, in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.